Today's shiur is Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chaf Hey Amud Beis. At the bottom of the Amud, at the words, remember the Eid Nasadayin. Our Mishnah discussed a number of situations where it was the Eidim who had also seen, it was the Dayanim of the Besdin who had also seen the new moon. And the Gemara discussed, the Mishnah discussed, what is the halacha if we can't find other Eidim, how could they be Eidim, and still we have Dayanim for this situation. But it's clear from our Mishnah, the Eid Nasadayin, that an individual could be who is potentially an Eid, if there were another Eidim, so he could still remain an Eid. Remember the Eid Nasadayin, it clearly indicates that our Mishnah holds that way. Suggests the Gemara, if we're going to understand the Mishnah that way, our Mishnah is not going to be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, if the Sanhedrin saw someone who murdered somebody, some of those people who saw that act of murder will be Eidim, or Miktsason, and the rest of the members of Sanhedrin who witnessed the murder but are not needed to say Eidis, Nasa Dayanim, are going to become Dayanim for this Din Torah. Divrei Reb Tarfon, that's the opinion of Reb Tarfon. Now, we can't just rely on the fact that they saw, they have to go through the process of saying Eidis, even though in our previous year the Gemara discussed the concept of Loitei Shmi Gedolei Maria, that isn't the fact that they saw it so powerful, why do we have to go through the testimony? So Rashi explains, the Torah HaKadosha says, Al Pishnei Eidim Yumas Hameis, Lo Yumas Al Piyet Echod, the Torah is very specific that it's not just dependent on seeing what happened, but you actually have to offer testimony, and not like what the Torah says by Kiddush HaChodesh, because by Kiddush HaChodesh, which is our primary subject, the Torah says, Kizer Eva Kadesh, it depends on what you see. Here it doesn't depend on what you see. Here it depends on testimony. So we do have to have, says Rashi, some people who actually testify. But the question is, can these people who also are not going to be saying Eidus be Dayanim? So Tarfon's opinion is that those people who said testimony, even Reb Tarfon will agree, cannot be Dayanim, because you can't play two roles. You can't be both an aid and a Dayan. But the others, who even though they saw the case, can still be Dayanim. Kivaymer, Kulam Nasa Eidim, once that they saw the testimony, they are Eidim, even if they will or will not be called to say testimony. Vein Eid Nasa Dayan. And the halacha is that somebody who saw this event cannot be a Dayan, because obviously he's partial, because he thinks that this person is certainly guilty, he's certainly a murderer, he saw the act of murder. So in our Mishnah, we're learning that the same individual could be an aid and a dying. So isn't our Mishnah not like Rabbi Kiva's opinion? Says the Mara Fila Tem Rabbi Kiva. We could reconcile our Mishnah even with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Because at Kana Kama Rabbi Kiva Hasam, over there, Rabbi Kiva says, a person who could even just be potentially an aid cannot be a dayan, because we're talking about dinin and nefashos. And when we speak about dinin and nefashos, says the Gemara, Rachmana Amar, the Torah goes out of the way to teach us, v'shofto eida, v'tzilu eida, that we try to be, as much possible, try to be in favor of the person that they should not be guilty. And the Chinuch, Sefer HaChinuch, says very beautiful words. Ma'achash inyan dinin nefashis, inyan kashim oid, trying a din in nefashos is very complicated. Shetzorich dig the gadol b'yoser. We have to be extremely careful that it should be done 100% perfectly. Nitzavah hadayanim l'shtadl b'yoser la'asal sanidin. Part of what the Torah wants from the dayanim is that they should try to exonerate the defendant. Amen. Loyla hatas adin. But of course, never, says the Gemara, at the expense that the din Torah should not be honest. Amnon loy latz adin kedei latz chalila. So it's a very, what the Gemara is saying is, that it's a the Chinuch is saying is, that it's a very, very delicate balance. And since it's such a delicate balance, that's why Dayonim, says Rabbi Kiva, have to be totally impartial. And if they saw this event, we lose that impartiality. Kivin the Chazi the Katal Nafsha, since they actually saw him killing, they won't be able to say anything to exonerate him. Aval Hocha, when we're speaking about seeing the new moon, so it's not so, it's very significant, but it's not that we have the special rule of Atzil of Eda, and therefore I feel Rabbi Kiva Moida, Rabbi Kiva will agree that even a person who saw the new moon could also serve as a Dayan. So the Torah teaches us that when the Torah speaks about Rosh Hashanah, the Torah says, "B'chadish Shvi Bechal Chodesh Mikra Kodesh Yilachem Kam Lechas Avoyd Loisasu Yoyim Teruah Yilachem." And we learn from here that one of the main parts when we speak about Rosh Hashanah is, of course, the Rosh Hashanah is the day when we blow the shofar. So as we speak about the shofar, it's important to say one word of introduction. When we speak about a shofar, there are two types of shofars. Of course, the shofar is the horn of an animal. When we speak about the shofar being the horn of an animal, there are two ways that works. One is that it has an outer shell and an inner shell. The outer shell is called the nakvus, and the inner shell is called the zachrus. And the way we make it into a shofar is by taking out the zachrus from the nakvus. And the other type of shor, the other type of horn, is one piece. There's no two parts to it. There's one piece. And the way you would make that into a shofar is by just carving out the inside. And when you carve out the inside, you'll have a shofar. So our Gemara, when it speaks about the shofar, is talking about, as we're going to be learning in our shiurim, a shofar that is made just out of one part is called a keren, not a shofar. So says the Mishnah, call our shofars, any type of shofar, whether it comes from a behema, whether it comes from a chaya, is kosher to be a shofar. The Ramban has a question that what will be halacha if a horn has all of the qualifications it needs to have to be considered a kosher shofar, but it comes from a non-kosher animal. The halacha is, we know there's a rule that lahuchshel lamelech shmayim elish shabahema v'chayv tarei b'vad. When we use something for a mitzvah, we're supposed to use something that comes from a kosher animal. And this is coming from a non-kosher animal. So it's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Kopei Vav, Sifkot Ches, quotes the Mata Ephraim, who says that if one doesn't have any other shofar besides this type of shofar, he should blow with it without a bracha, because maybe it's not a kosher shofar. And then when he gets a shofar that comes from an animal that's kosher, he should blow again. But then he can't make a bracha either, because once he was already yoytze the mitzvah with the first shofar that he blew with the shofar from the non-kosher animal, which may be a valid shofar, so when he's blowing again, he's only blowing again because he has a suffix. If he's only blowing again because he has a suffix, he cannot blow the shofar with a bracha. So kol ha-shofars k'sherim, chutz mi-shapara, except the horn of a cow. And as we're going to see, it's whether it's a young cow or a old cow, mishei shu keren. It's a keren, it's not a shofar. And the Torah wants us to use specifically a shofar, not a Karen. Amr Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says to the Tanakama, V'lekol ha-shofars nikru Karen. Why are you disqualifying this type of a horn? Aren't all types of shofars called a Karen? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, when they were coming, the first city in Eretz Yisrael that they were coming to capture was the city of Yericho, with Yeshua ben Nun. And for 7 days, they circled the city with the Aron. And each one of the 7 days, they circled the city once, and 7 Kohanim blew with shofars. And on the 7th day, they encircled the city 7 times, and all the Kohanim blew with their shofars. And then the wall fell down, and the Pasuk here describes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yeshua to do on the 7th day. The Pasuk says, V'hayim b'shoich b'keren ha-yovel. So we see that blowing with the Karen Ayovel is still, which is an ayil, is still considered a good shofar. So we see that even an ayil, which is a good shofar, its horn is called a Karen. So the question the Gemara is asking is, why are you disqualifying anything that's considered a Karen? Asks the Gemara immediately. Shapa come Rabbi Yossi. Hasn't Rabbi Yossi made a very powerful point? Rabbanon. How did Rabbanon reply? Kol ha-shofars ikru shofar, ikru keren. When we speak about all different types of shofars, they're called both a shofar and they're also called a keren. As the Pasuk says by Matan Torah, v'mshoich ha-yoyva hem yal bahar. And then the Pasuk continues to say, v'hi kol ha-shofar choylik v'choyzik ma'od. That the Pasuk calls it a Karen, and the Pasuk also calls it a Shofar. However, the horn of a Parah, Karen Ikri, is only called a Parah, is only called a Karen, Shofalai Ikri. We don't find that the Torah calls it a Shofar. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk speaks about when Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha to shave at Yosef, the Pasuk said, B'chor shor hadolav karnei reim karnav, the horns of a Shofar, the horns of a parah are only considered a Karen. And for Rosh Hashanah, we need to have a shofar, as we're explaining. Ask the Gemara. Says now, how will Rabbi Yossi defend himself? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Amalach, the parah nami ikru shofar. I'll show you that the horn of a parah is also called the shofar. The ksiv, the pasuk in Tehillim, speaks how Klal Yisrael will thank Hashem when he saves us. And the Pasuk says, V'sitev l'Hashem mishar par. And the question is, a shar is a bull, and a par is a cow. And what is the Pasuk saying, mishar par? Im shar lo mapar. If the Pasuk is speaking about a shar, what does it mention a par? Vim par lo mishar. And if the Pasuk is speaking about a par, what does it say, shar? Ela my shar par. What is meant with these words? That mishar par, we should put these two words together, and we should say shofar, and that when we thank Hashem, it'll be more worthwhile than when we blow the shofar from a shofar, so from a horn of a cow. So we see that it is considered a shofar. The Rabbanon, how do they respond? Now that he's proven that that the horn of a cow is also called a shofar, why do they disqualify such a horn? Answers, the Gemara could have Masna. If they followed the opinion of Ramasna, Dom Ramasna, he has a different interpretation of that Pasuk. The Pasuk is, my shar par, that our thanking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be more valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the shar par shugol kapar, that like the, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first cow, he created an animal, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, he created the animal completely mature. And what the Pasuk is teaching us is that our thanking to Hashem will be even greater than what the animal that was created at the beginning of Maaseh Bereishis. Ula gives a different reason why the Rabbanon disqualify the horn of a cow. Hainu tam de Rabbanon. The reason is, as Rav Chizda told us, Bebigdei Zov. Why on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does he not wear the big day Zov that he wears all year round? Because and that's why we can't use a par, because how can we use the horn of an animal with which we did the Aveira of the Cheta Egel? So the Mizrahi asks a question. The Pasuk says in Parsha Shemini that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, Kach lecha egel ben bakel lechatus. He specifically tells him to use an egel for the karban chatus. And Rashi quotes what Chazal teaches, Yove egel v'chapa mas egel. Specifically, just the opposite. The egel should breed the kapara for the aveir of the egel. So here, well, how could Moshe Rabbeinu, how could the Torah told Aaron to do so? We're learning that as a rule. En katega nasis enega. So one, the Mizrahi answers, as we're going to learn, that this concern is specifically Befnim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But that carbon that was brought by Aaron was not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Mashah asks, I understand the Mizrahi's answer, that since it's not Befnim, we're not so concerned about Ayin Katega Natsa Senega. But still ask the Mashah, from all the animals in the world that Aaron could use to bring a kapara and Klal Yisrael, why does he bring the animal with which the Aveiru was done if we're learning the rule of Ein Katega Nasa Senega? So the Gur Aryeh says a different teretz. He says, if we're using this type of animal to be a kapara for the Aveiru that was committed with this type of animal, then it's the most appropriate animal to use, because it shows that we truly have a regret for what we've done. But when we speak about the Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, when we speak about the Big Day Zov on Yom Kippur, he explains the Shofar doesn't primarily come for the Cheta Egel. The Big Day Zov don't primarily come for the Cheta Egel. So to bring something which is not directly related to that Aveira, but will remind Kavi Yochla Kodesh Baruch Hu of the Aveira that we did, that doesn't make sense. The Or HaChaim has a different approach. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh has an approach. Who was told in that pasuk that we began with now to use an egel for a carbon? It was Aaron. He says, we know that Aaron really did not intend to make an egel. The entire story with the egel was something Aaron was coerced into. So since Aaron didn't really want to make the egel, by him bringing the egel as a carbon, he was actually making a announcement that yes, the egel was made, and yes, I had some part of making the egel, but it doesn't make sense, but I shouldn't really be held that accountable. That's why Aaron was allowed to use the egel as a kapara, but that doesn't apply to somebody who actually deliberately participated in the Aveira. But then I saw another question. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis that after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Pasuk says, V'yisperu alei ta'ena v'yaslam chaguras. They took fig leaves and used it to cover themselves. And Rashi says, alei ta'ena, hu eitz sh'ochlo memenu. That was the type of tree that they ate from. B'dor v'shal neskalkel boi nesaten. The thing that they used to do the Aveira, the tree was a fig tree. That was the tree they used the leaves to cover themselves up. So I saw that the Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, the Chevron, Rashiv of Chevron, he asks, how? Don't we have a rule that we just learned, Ein Katega Nasa Avayda? So he says, very similar to the terrors that we learned, like just learned. When a person is using something to do a kapara for the actual Aveira that he committed, then it's appropriate to use the same item to show I have total regret. But the shofar and the big day zav aren't used specifically for kapara for the cheta egel. Ask the Gemara, but if you're saying there's a rule of ein katiga nasas nega, vikadam par. We know that a very big part of the avodah, as we learned in Masechta Yuma on Yom Kippur, was spritzing the dam of the par. So how could they use a par that's an egel? Answers the Gemara, Hayav Yishtani Yishtani. It's once it's dam, it's not an animal anymore, and therefore there's no concern of Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega. Ask the Gemara, Vika Arad, Vika Pyrus, Akruv, all these different Kalim that were in the Kacha Kadoshim that were made out of gold. And why are we not concerned for Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega? Says the Gemara, Chayta by Yaakov Krimian. When are we concerned for Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega? When the person himself who did the Aveira should not use something with which we remember the Aveira. But the Kalim didn't do an Aveira. But ask the Gemara, V'yikah kaf machta. The Kohen Gadol, as he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Yom Kippur, carried a spoon and a ladle to carry the Ketores, and they were made out of gold. Answers the Gemara, Chayta by Yisnoa Kamirin. When are we concerned about Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega? By something that's used for a beautification purpose. The a spoon and ladle are not used for a beautification purpose. But as the Tosfos read, so then the shofar is not used for that purpose either. So he says that you can't bring a question from the shofar. Because by shofar, it's much more noticeable, the shofar. A person blows the shofar, everybody sees the shofar. The Ritva says that, yes, the purpose of the shofar is for us to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once we become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't use such an item to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask the Gemara, V'ikah Bigdei Zav M'Bechutz. Yes, as we began this piece of Gemara, the Kohen Gadol wears Bigdei Zav, doesn't wear Bigdei Zav when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But doesn't he wear Bigdei Zav all year round when he does the Avodah and not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Answers the Gemara, M'mifnim Kamrinin. Where are we concerned about Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega? That's only when we're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not when we're not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And as I saw, Rabbi Yoel Dassler in the Sefer Michtav Eliyahu explains, he says, when we're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have to be so sensitive and so careful that the Kapara should be done perfectly. Outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that type of concern doesn't exist. Ask the Gemara, but if we're going to say that the entire concern is only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim Lefnim, but with the Shofar, we don't blow the Shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we blow the Shofar outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Answers the Gemara, Kivin del Zikaron, since the purpose of the blowing of the Shofar is to bring our Zikaron all the way close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we daven, our tefillos are supposed to enter the closest place to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's considered Kibifnim. So Gemara is saying that the reason we don't use a shofar of a cow is because Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega. So I saw that the Chashuki Chemet says that if we're learning now this concept of Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega, if there is a individual who has this problem that he's always speaking bad about Klal Yisrael, then a person who speaks bad about Klal Yisrael should not be about the Keah. Because Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega. And somebody who speaks from every mitzvah that we do, he says, we create a malach. And the malach that's created from an individual who unfortunately speaks not nicely about Klal Yisrael, that person is not the person who should be the Saneger who's trying to speak positively about Klal Yisrael. But now ask the Gemara, so now we've come up with a reason why we don't blow a shofar made out of a shor, out of par, Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega. But ask the Gemara, that's not what it said in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, V'atan b'nei shu keren kamer. Our Mishnah said the reason is because it's a keren. Answers the Gemara, and that's why it can't be used for a shofar. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is Chada v'Oid Kama. There are two reasons. Chada, the Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega. We shouldn't use a shofar because of shor, because Ein Ketegen Nasas Sanega. And also, we have the other issue that we learned in the Mishnah, Neshu Karen. It's a Karen, and we can't use something which is a Karen to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So, Tosfos asks, the Eifin and Choshen were also made Avnei Zikaron to be a Zikaron for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were made out of gold. So Tosfos answers that the names of the Shvatim are what caused the Zikaron, caused the remembrance. And the names of the Shvatim were not made out of were not made out of gold. Rabbi Yossi Amloch, Rabbi Yossi, who says that we can use the horn of a shor of a par for a shofar, the kamrit enkategen nasim b'fnesneger, the concern of enkategen nasneger, he says doesn't apply because hanimil b'fnim. It only applies to avoider that's done in the kodesh hakodashim. V'hai shofar b'chutzu, the shofar is not blown in the kodesh hakodashim, or the kamrit b'nei shukaren, and the concern that you said it's a karen. So as he taught us already in the Mishnah, kol ha-shofar snemiku karen, and that's why that is not something to consider as an issue. Abay Amar, Hanu Tamay D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say that you can't use the Karen of a Shofar, because says Rabbaya, when the Torah says we're supposed to blow a Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, the Torah says, Shofar Echer Am Rachmana. The Torah says, Vavarta Shofar Tru, you're supposed to use one Shofar. V'loi Shnayim V'shloisha Shofaris, we're not supposed to use two, three Shofaris. V'hada Parah, the way the shofar of the parah is formed, gildi. Every year there's another layer that grows on the shofar. And since every year it grows another layer, mechzi kishnayim v'shloisha shofaris, it doesn't look like one shofar, it looks like a number of shofaris. And we just said the Torah requires that we only blow one shofar. So I saw, why is the Torah so concerned that it should look like one shofar? Because the pasuk says, "V'ha'yeh b'yayim ahu yitaka b'shofar gadol uvo oivdim be'eretz Asher v'nidochim be'eretz Mitzrayim." So the Torah says b'shofar gadol. When Mashiach comes and when we blow the shofar, we spoke about this the other day. The Gemara said it's a remembrance, not just a reminder. The Satan thinks it means that Mashiach is coming. So we need to blow the same type of shofar that we're going to blow when Mashiach comes. And since when Mashiach comes, that it looks like one shofar, we're supposed to use one shofar, here too, we're supposed to use only one shofar. Of course, Tosfos points out that we're going to learn that halacha is about putting one shofar into another shofar, if that's kosher or not. This is not the same, because here it's one big shofar. It just has a number of layers. And since it has a number of layers, that's not considered like I put one shofar into another shofar. But ask the Gemara again. V'tanam nei shukaren kamar. Our Mishnah, the reason why we can't use the corn of a shor and a par is because it's called a karen. Nothing to do with gildi. Gildi, says the Gemara, chad v'ayit kamar. And the way to understand the Mishnah is actually saying there are two reasons. Chad the shofar echad amarachmana v'loish shnayim v'shloisha shofars. The Torah said to use only one shofar. Void, and the other issue is neishu keren, and it's not a shofar. How does Rabbi Yossi defend himself? Rabbi Yossi amloch the kamrit. The reason that you explained that shofar echad amarachmana v'loish shnayim v'shloisha shofars, kiven the mechabri hadodi, since even though it grows every year a new layer, but they're all connected, it's considered one. Uda ka'amrit b'nei shukaren, and the issue that you raised that it's called a karen, kol ha-shofars namriku karen, as he said, all shofars are called karen, and once it's considered a karen, that's not considered a disqualification. So our Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Yossi, kol ha-shofars niku karen, and the Mishnah mentioned the pasuk of m'shoich b'karen ha-yovel. Ask the Gemara, my mashma, the high yovel lushta dechrahu. Where do we see that when the pasuk says m'shoich karen ayovel, it's speaking about the karen of an aisle, which we know is what's used for a shofar? Answers the Gemara, the Tanya, Amar Akiva, shalachti la'arvia. When I went to the city that was called Arvia, hayukari la'dichra li'yovel. They used to call the dichra a yovel, and as the Shlach explains, when the world was originally created, the language HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world was Lashon HaKodesh. But then by the Dor HaFlaga, as we know, all the languages of the world got mixed up, and there were new languages, the 70 new languages were created. But all the new languages still had in them a vestige of Lashon HaKodesh. And that's what's meant here, that when we can learn different words from different languages. V'amar Rav Akiva, and that's what happens now in the Gemara. Shlachti l'Gali, when I went to the city of Gali, Hayikarim l'nida Gamuda. When a woman is a nida, she's called a Gamuda. What's Gamuda? Gamula da Mebala. She's separated from her husband because she's a nida. V'amar Rav Akiva, shlachti l'Afriki, Hayikarim ma, the coin that we know ma is often mentioned in Shas, it was called Ksita. Ask the Gemara, L'may Nafkamina, why do we need to know that? Answer the Gemara, L'frusi make Ksita deraisa. When the Torah uses the word Ksita, it means Meya Danki. We should know that that's what the Torah means, Danka. Amar Rabbi, Kshlacht L'krach Eyoim, when I went to different islands, Hayakarin L'mechira Kira, they use the word selling, doing a transaction, they use the word Kira. L'may nafkamina, ask me why do we have to know it? L'furushi, to understand the pasuk that it says what Yaakov Avinu told Yosef, that he asked him to bury him in the Maros HaMachpelah, and he said, b'kivri asher karisili. And now we know that the definition of a karisili is the kever that I bought. Amar Hashem Belokish, shlachti l'tchum ken nesharya, kar l'kalve, they called the kala a ninfi, and they called the tarnagol a sechvi. Kalakar ninfi, where is the source that a cow should be called a ninfi? My crop, because the pasuk says Yifei Noif Mesois Kol Aretz, that Israel is considered the most beautiful country in the world, and so too the kala we're trying to give her a compliment is so beautiful. The Tanagol Sechi, why is a chicken called a Sechi? Amar Yudam Rav, Vibayis Emer Bishu Ben Levi, Ma Kro, the pasuk says in Iyov, Mishas Betuchas Chachma, who gave the kidneys knowledge, a Minasin L'Sechvi Bina, Misoich Betuchas Chachma, Ela Kloyes. The seat of wisdom is in the kidneys, and the reason the kidneys, Rashi explained, are called tuchos. Tuchos means like something that was smeared with plaster that's perfectly smooth, and the skin of the kidney is perfectly smooth. And Rashi explains that, as we just said, we know that throughout Shas, the Gemara often says the kloyos yoatzos. The wisdom comes from the kloyos. Or minasun sechivina, satanagoyl, that has the ability to determine when the day begins. And that's why every morning by the Birchas HaShachar, we say, Ashenosun l'sechvivina l'afkin ben yoyim on ve'leila. The chicken has that intelligence. So the Gemara continues with discussing the etymology of different words. Levi eklel ahu asra, asra gavala kamei. There was a person that came to see him, Amalei, and that person said to Levi, kavion plani. This person, kavion, covenanted to me. But Lohava Yodim, I come away. Levi didn't understand what this person meant. Also, Shom Be'emedrosha. He went to the yeshiva to ask, does anybody know what this word means? Amalei. So they told him, Gazan Lamalach. They meant to say that this person stole. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ki Ayikva Odom Alakim. The Pasuk of Malachi says, could somebody steal from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? And the Pasuk is saying that they were stealing from a Kodesh Baruch Hu by not properly giving the Trumas and Mises. Omalei, so that's how we understood that the word Kavim means to steal. Amalei Ravim Banash L'Ravashi, Iavoy Hosom, if this would have happened to me, I would have been able to figure out what it means. Havaminala, I would have started asking questions. Hechi Kavach, but my Kavach, va my Kavach, and by asking all these types of questions, I would have been able to figure out that that's what it means. Amalei Yadana, that Kavim means to steal. Asked the Gemara, Viu Sover, so why did Levi not do so? Says the Gemara, Milsa de Sur Kavanoi. Since he didn't know what the word Kavan means, Kavan is a not nice word. So he didn't want to spend time asking these all types of questions. So they saw that the Talmud Rebbe quotes the Imri Emetz. We know the Gemara says that the first question we asked when we come up to Shemayim is Kavati Itim L'Torah. And we always think of Kavati Itim L'Torah means a kvius, that a person is supposed to set aside a specific time when he learns. But he explains, Kavati Itim L'Torah, did you steal time for Torah? sometimes we're so preoccupied, we always have a reason not to learn. But what we're supposed to do is steal time. We're supposed to find time and steal time, whatever is necessary to find time to learn Torah. Says the Gemara, the Rabbanon did not know what is the definition of the word Serugin. And the word Serugin is also a word that comes up often in Shas. The Mishnah Masechta Megillah discusses somebody who reads the Megillah b'Serugin. And they didn't know what that word means. Shamal Amsud Bei Rebbe, but then they heard the maid in the home of Rebbe, the Chazidna Rabbanon Davayil Paski Paski. She saw the Talmid Chachamim entering the home of Rebbe one at a time. Amalei, and she said to them, Admasai Atam Nichnasin Serugin Serugin. Why do you walk in small groups? Why don't you all come at the same time? So she understood that the definition of the word Serugin means that if something is not done in one, but rather it's done piecemeal, that's the definition of the word Serugin. And that's what it means by a Megillah, that you didn't read the Megillah all at one time, but you separated between reading the Megillah. They didn't know what this definition of the word chagulus is. One day they heard this maid. He was spreading out the vegetable that's called paprachino. And she said to him, why is it so important to know what chagulus are? So Rashi explains that sometimes a person has tumas ziva or tumas keri. If it was caused by an external source, that individual is not a zav. And one of the foods that's mentioned that could cause ziva is chal gugulos. So it's important to know what is that vegetable. It continues the Gemara. What is the definition where it says initially salsal of taramecha? But says the Gemara, there was somebody who was playing with his hair. So she saw that the definition of salsala is picking something up. What does it mean, the pasuk in Shia, that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to sweep us away? But they heard one day the maid that was Amr Chaverta shkol tatosa v'tata beisa, take the broom and sweep. So we see tatosa means to sweep away. Lo yavi yader abanan mai, the pasuk says in Tehillim, hashlech al Hashem yichavcha v'hu yichal kalecha. He says the Gemara Amr Rabba b'chana yom echad ave zilna b'hadei ataya. I was once traveling with this Arab merchant havdarina tuna, and I was carrying a load on my shoulders. V'amli shkol yichavcha, take your baggage, v'shadi agamloi, and put it on my camel. And the Gra explains what does this pasuk mean? Because the Gra says this is not such a hard pasuk to understand, that the Gemara says he didn't understand what the pasuk meant. So he says what meant here is, to what level do we have to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, bitachin in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is a person supposed to have a person supposed to think, this is what I think should be done, and hope that he thought right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees, or should he completely rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he says, that it seems that a person has to do his ashtadlis. A person has to do what he has to do. And that's why they didn't understand Hashlech al Hashem Yehavcha. So that's why he said, whatever you're supposed to do, whatever's going to happen is going to happen in a shemayim. And we have no control over what happens. Whatever happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it happen. Nothing to do with what we say. And I saw that the Imri Emes explains, what does it mean? A person thinks that whatever he's doing in this life, he really makes a difference. It's what he does makes a difference. So what the Gemara teaches us is, Hashlech al Hashem Yehavcha. Just like this camel driver, he says, I'm going anyway. So you might as well put, and I'm traveling in your direction anyway, you might as well put your package on my cat, my animal. Here too, our attitude should be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world anyway, so why are we getting involved? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do what's right and what's best. The Torah tells us, the mitzvah say, to blow in the Chatzotzeris, when in the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought Kabbonis. As the pasuk says, "Ubiyom simchaschem ubemayadechem uvrashi chatshechem utzukatem bechatzoytzus." But as we're learning on Rosh Hashanah, they blew the chatzoytzus because it was a yontif, which they brought kabbonis. But as we said earlier, they also blew the shofars. Rashi says the purpose of blowing the chatzoytzus that was to be a way that everybody should gather, as the pasuk says, "V'hayu lechem lemikra eda." The Rambam says that the purpose of blowing the Chatzotzeris was this was the way that they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if something bad happened to them. And when we speak about the Chatzotzeris and the Shofar, they're very different. And therefore says the Mishnah, Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, the Shofar that's used in Rosh Hashanah, shel Yael, it's a wild goat, Poshut, a straight Shofar, V'piv mitzup azov, and it was had a gold plating from the outside. V'shtei chatzotzim nitzdodim, and when they blew the shofar from Rosh Hashanah, they also had two chatzotzis on the side of the shofar. Shofar marach, the person who blew the shofar would continue blowing the shofar for chatzotzis mekayitzayis, but after the chatzotzis stopped blowing, he would continue blowing the shofar. Me'ik mitzvah yoyim b'shofar. Because the main mitzvah of the day was shofar. Now, Sefer Yom Teruah asks a question. We just finished learning a sugya of Ein Ketega Nasas Anega. We don't want to have a shofar from a shor or a par. And here we're finding that they put gold on the shofar. So the Yom Teruah answers, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, it really wasn't put where they blew, and therefore it's not considered that it was using something that's made out of gold. The reason they had two shofars on the side, explains the Ran, because the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Yuma that when three people are walking on the road, the two, you should have the most significant individual in the middle and the lesser on the side. So again, as our Mishnah just wanted to show us that shofar is the main mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah, so we have these two chatzotzis on the side, the shofar in the middle, and that's why it shows that the shofar is what's most significant today. Over Tanius, the Mishnah in Masechta Tanius we're going to learn, speaks about if unfortunately there's a drought in Eretz Yisrael and there's no rain, they would be geyser, they would decree that you have to fast. And they blew chatzotzis. B'shnei Zecharim, the shofars that were used were the shofar of ayil, kfufim that were bent, or p'em tzupa kesef, and they were coated with silver. U'shtei chatzotzis b'emtza, and there were two chatzotzis in the middle, shofar mekatzers v'chatzotzis mekatzer, and on Tanis was just the opposite. The shofar stopped blowing, and the chatzotzis continued, because there, ikum mitzvah sayoyim b'chatzotzis, the main mitzvah is b'chatzotzis, because as we just said before, Rashi said the purpose of the Chatzotzeris was to gather them together. And on the days of a fast day, they were gathered together to daven. And that's why they daven. And as we're learning, there were two shofars on the side and two Chatzotzeris in the middle. Why did they have to have two shofars on the side? Because they wanted to have a shofar being on the side of every Chatzotzeris. So ask the Sefer Yom Teruah, so it said Shofrois Mekatzrois. What does it say, Shofar Mekatzer? So he answers that although they had two shofars, because that's the way it looked right, if they only had one shofar, it's still acceptable, because again, the Mitzvah Sayyom is really the Chatzotzeris. Shavu Yovel Rosh Hashanah, continues the Mishnah, on the Yom Kippur of Yovel, they blew a shofar. And they said, says the Mishnah, the shofar they blew on the Yovel is the same type of shofar Litkia, the same type of shofar they blew on Rosh Hashanah, with Teisha Brachas. As we're still going to learn on Rosh Hashanah, they said nine brachas in the Musaf, and in the Musaf of Yom Kippur of Yovel, so too was recited. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rosh Hashanah Taikim Mishal Zecharim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says that the shofar that's blown on Rosh Hashanah was made out of mail, brent, or b'yovelus b'shel yeilim, because he doesn't hold that yovel and Rosh Hashanah are completely the same. Rabbi Levi, mitzvah Rosh Hashanah v'shem Kippurim b'kfufim. It's preferable to use a bent shofar on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. V'shakal Hashanah, and the rest of the year when we blow a shofar, we use pshutim, a straight shofar. Ask the Gemara, but didn't our Mishnah say v'atnan shofar shal Rosh Hashanah shiyal poshut, that the on Rosh Hashanah we use a straight shofar? Answers the Gemara, Huda Amakai Tana. Rabbi Levi holds like Rabbi Huda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rosh Hashanah Yotaken B'shal Zecharim Kfufim, Rosh Hashanah we use bent shofars, or B'yovelus B'shal Yelim. So ask the Gemara, so he should have just said, Hilchas Rabbi Yehuda, that he agrees with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Iyam Hilchas Rabbi Yehuda, if all he would have just said is Hilchas Rabbi Yehuda, Hava Mina Shal Yovel Nami Rabbi Yehuda Sfirulei, and he hold that on Yovel we should also use a straight shofar, as Rabbi Yehuda holds. Kamash Milan, that's why he teaches us that he doesn't agree. Only on Rosh Hashanah does he hold that you should use a bent shofar. But in Yovel, his opinion is you use a straight shofar. Ask the Gemara. So we have a machloikis, what type of shofar should be used on Rosh Hashanah? A straight one or a bent one? Ask the Gemara, Michael Mifki, what is the basis of the machloikis? Masav of Rosh Hashanah, kam de kaif initiate date. Yehuda's opinion is that a person on Rosh Hashanah should be subservient. He should realize he's not in a great place. That's why we should use a shofar that's bent. Of Yom Kippurim, when it comes on Yom Kippur, which is to declare that's yovel and that we're going free, kam de pashat inish date tvei mali. Then there's no point that we have to be kafif, that we have to be bent. We could be straight. Mar, whereas the Tanakam Vam Mishnah holds, but Rosh Hashanah, kam de pashat inish date tvei mali. A person who's straight and tall and recognizes that this is a day that I have opportunity to become close to Hashem and I'm proud of it, should be straight. And the same thing will be on Yovel. But when we're blowing a shofar on the Tainus, there he agrees to kam the kaif in ishtate tfeimale, as much as a person bends down, there he agrees that's the way we should blow on brushes on every Tainus. The Tosfos paskins that not only on Rosh Hashanah should we use a shofar which is kafuf, but he says it's essential. And if you have a shofar that isn't kafuf, you weren't yoytze the mitzvah. The Ritva, the Tvar disagrees. He says, of course, l'chatchila on Rosh Hashanah, we should use a shofar which is kafuf, but b'dieved, if we didn't use such a shofar, the tekiyas are fine.